Crouch. Bind. Set.
Joe presents the House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
We're going to go for it, and we're going to say a very warm welcome to you all to our first ever House of Rugby Live, brought to you by Joe, together with our incredibly good friends at Guinness, and give yourselves a cheer. You beautiful people here at the pub at the Prince in Southwest London. We're up and running. It is unbelievably exciting to be here tonight. My name is Alex Payne. This show doesn't happen without two incredibly important people. So would you give a huge welcome, please, to Mr. James Haskell and Mr. Mike Tindall! Hello, the heart.
Hi. How are you?
Well done.
Hello.
Well done. Fantastic introduction.
Come on, have a seat.
Is this... Am I on?
Are you on?
Are
you plugged in?
We're all right.
How are we feeling about this right now?
Oh, it looks good, doesn't it?
Very excited. Very excited. As I said to VIPs earlier, very male-dominated audience. Are we getting a bit of feedback?
We are. Someone's put 50p in the jukebox, which is working really well. This is the kind of thing that happens on this show, is that we have so much shit going on, and they just seamlessly remove it. And then we're made to look like quite a good show. What I'm loving in the background is people are running around frantically saying, keep going, keep
going. Don't notice anything.
Sides just said, everything we've discussed so far will not be going in the show, which is...
It's a beauty of a live event. We've got 2 hours. We only need an hour.
Listen, these are the people that we want to impress.
Exactly.
Fuck the people who didn't bother turning up. It's not we're not about that life.
I think we might be looking at a 3-minute podcast this week, which is basically a hello and a goodbye. Do you want to know what's in the show? We never really get to any of it, but if you do, coming up this week, we are going to preview in our own unique way. The World Cup, which starts on Friday, we'll have a little cheer for the World Cup. We're going to find out what it's like to spend weeks in training camp. We're going to find out what goes on in the evenings, apparently. I imagine in sort of a team context rather than an individual bedroom basis. We're going to try and pick a winner of the tournament. We're going to have plenty of fun and games along the way. We've got a special guest to welcome in a few moments' time. But if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that we don't tend to get going without just a little bit of what have you been up to, how's your father, what's the latest news kind of thing.
He's actually over there, my father.
He is, give a little wave to Lord Haskell. Good evening to you.
Yeah. And you can all pelt him with eggs later for producing that.
And your mummy has come as well.
My mum's come as well,
And so for you...
If you want to know where I get my aggression from, it's certainly from her. So if any of you come at me, she will rip your eyes out. I've actually been... Well, we've been doing a lot of work together on the corporate circuit. Got to keep the wolf from the door. Now I'm unemployed. bringing humour and entertainment to the corporate world. And we're training today. It was a bit of an interesting day. They were learning chokes today. So I was getting choked out by massive heavyweights for most of the day, which... It's moments like that you think, probably should have just stayed retired.
Yeah.
But it was good fun. I've got a slight headache and a dull ache in the back of my head, but I'm sure that's just Tins's chat.
How's it going?
At least there's nothing in there to fuck up.
Exactly. lads, now we're touring. Just one thing, because I was going to ask you how you've been, and you've obviously mentioned my parents are here. But absolute Lord Buntington Smythe and his mate St John have turned up in fucking... You can't see it from here, but they are wearing one blue.
You're going to have to come forward. This is my brother-in-law, Stan, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you that like the podcast.
What a boy.
And my sister Emma, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. No, Stan is the one that's 0-3 at the Boodle boxing.
Yeah.
So he's 0-3 at the Boodle, so he's the first fight for Hask in the MMA. It's got a chance.
50-50,
isn't it? It's a 50-50 call.
It's a 50-50.
We've just got the odds off Rob Howley.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Now we're touring.
I do like that he's turned up in a gilet. It's almost like a tweed one. It's like I've got business at 4, but shooting at 6.
There you are.
I love it. And he's actually, the other guy, he turned up with an even smarter one, so it's almost like, I've got a dinner party
You are talking to the people that buy the gilets here. We're in Fulham, for fuck's sake.
I don't see any gilets in the crowd. Yeah, Alex, stop pretending they're like you, mate.
If you're wearing a gilet, stand up. Yay!
No.
3 or 4 or 5 or 6.
No.
It's still the summer.
One thing, though, what I'm concerned about is after my, quite incessant thing about explaining about fan interaction and nauseas, I thought that when we turned up today, there was going to be no stash. Because I thought you realise you can't wear supporting shirts out. But I've seen some Lions guys at the back, kind of absolute keynotes. Yeah, living the dream, waiting for this live show. Cannot wait. Go back with all the posters on the wall in your autograph books. Well, we love rugby. Women, not so much. Why is that? Oh, they don't understand this. This is the chat.
Are we going to bother with any of this?
Absolutely not at all.
Turn that over. Tins, what's happening?
Not much. Tomorrow is the BMW Championship Pro-Am.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find who I'm playing with. I've got no fucking clue. I have got the odds through... Someone sent me the odds of 14 to 1, apparently.
Is that right?
To win, our group to win it, but I don't know.
But you don't know who's in your group?
No, I know, right. I'm playing with BMW. Free cars all round. Hopefully nice. By the end of the day.
How have you gone in years past?
Yeah, pretty shit, actually.
Right.
They play, if anyone plays golf, they play like a scramble format, so you can, the best drive. So instead of having to look for your ball sprayed all over Wentworth, you just take the best drive. So you can take the pro's drive if need to, but yeah. Then because you get basically a 100-yard walk from where the pros tee off to where you actually tee off, if you hit one further than them, you all use that one. And then it's just how much under par you are.
Yeah. The other thing I want to ask you very quickly is Hask is Airbnb-ing his house for...
Yeah, and if any of you nutters think you're getting into it, you're sorely mistaken.
Has anyone here put in a bid just out of interest?
Well, there's a few, no, because now they've
tried.
It's not activated yet. It's got an absolute...
Again, those two guys in the shirt.
I thought I had wallpaper.
Do you know what the best
left?
So obviously.
Why in God's name are you doing this?
Listen, I do a lot of work for charity. Don't like to talk about it. I don't want to go on about how much I raised.
It actually looks like a halo.
Yeah, it does. Hundreds of thousands I raised, probably millions. I don't know who's counting. Well, my problem with dad is. I decided to do this obviously to raise money for Sebastian's Axe Trust. Give a couple of rugby fans, you know, a dream ticket into Haskingham Palace.
And it had nothing to do with the fact that you've done a deal with Airbnb shape or form, did it?
Well, charity starts at home, so you've got to, you know, look after number one, because, you know, the gas man electricity board don't take Old England caps as payment, unfortunately, or rugby stories, sadly. But do you know what the weird thing was? As soon as it went live, obviously the Daily Mail can always be relied on in the comments section to give you a good appraisal. I mean, honestly, if they could somehow connect everyone to that comment section that was in there and you could just press a button and they all just perished, the world would instantly be a better place. I genuinely believe that. And one of the comments was straight away was, I sent it to my wife, which put alarm bells into her head, was, I can't wait to get into that house and sniff the sheets and lick the toilet seats where they've been. And I was like...
It's a two at the back again, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm like...
How do they get through security?
I rattled. I mean, actually, do you know what? I've got it on my phone. I've got to read it because it is that traumatic that I had it. I will find it quickly.
Did you not pull the plug at that stage?
Well, I tried to, but it's too late, you know.
Cash,
while you carry on, I'll find it if you read
you've
it.
You've got a couple of houses that could be quite useful for B&B and sort of in the family.
Well, you know, again, the Daily Mail will probably frown upon that.
Yeah, very true.
I've got this really, really nice place in London. Yeah,
the old
big.
The old sidebar of Shea would go bananas on it.
A few spare rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
Big back garden too.
Put them up in a tent.
Right, here we are. Okay. It's what it's Master O the Universe, City of Heaven, Dubai Shab. Obviously, very. Okay, I would hire it just to sniff the sheets where her bottom has been. Bet their sex life is incredible and their stains are all over the place and I'd love to find and smell them and lick the toilet seats. Oi.
Again, I'm not sure that's going to make a final edit.
And why not?
I'm pretty
it's
happy.
The truth. It's the Daily Mail. It's the truth. Why would it not make the edit?
Super.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff I have to put up with, and you wonder why I don't like nauseous.
It's like they've got a camera into your house.
Yeah, that is one thing I'd be worried about. They get in and put like toilet cam in there.
Like they've got a camera or Hasker's set up a camera.
Well, yeah.
In his house.
Not again.
Like you got there in the end.
Should we talk ruggers? Are we now excited about Rugby World Cup 2019, which starts on Friday?
I've been excited for a little while, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. Can't wait to get out there. There's a lot of short people out there. I'm going to have a whale of
a time. Doing it massive. What are we thinking at, what are we, Tuesday? What are we thinking 4 days to go?
Well, at the moment, from an England point of view, they're all pissing themselves at Wales.
Just for those who don't know, do you want to
explain? But actually, saying that, Wales have just done a genius stroke. They might actually do something in the World Cup. They got rid of their attack coach, so...
I'm pretty certain that after that, they're going to win the World Cup.
Yeah. Hask loves you. Best mate, Robert.
Yeah, me and Rob Powell have always got on. Long pause. It was when I made my debut, when I've actually been waiting this. You know they say revenge is a dish best served cold? I've been waiting on this for a long time, and now he's fucked up. I'm going to be on him like a spider monkey. is that my first game for Wasps when I was like 18, he did an interview as captain, he blamed the whole loss on me live on Sky, which is rule number one as a captain. You'd never throw your teammates under the bus. He just said, young player James Haskell made his debut, made a few mistakes, and then leading us to lost the game and everything else. So I got hammered, and I sat there the whole time, and I've got pictures of him all over my room with like knife things in it. And obviously we talked about when Dozer came on, we obviously had that little unfortunate incident at school with the old video camera thing that accidents happen. And unfortunately, he got into me, and then he used to get into me about it. And then fast forward 10 years, I played at Millennium Stadium and we won. Not the time I ran, it's the post, the time before. And the first thing he asked me, "Hey boy, making any more pornos?" And I was like, "Rob, it's been 10 years, bro, like, get over it." Because obviously in Wales, in the Valleys, that was the biggest thing that's ever happened. So so I'm waiting for him. So yeah, I do love, respect him, incredible player, but he didn't really like me and threw me under the bus. So I genuinely believe Wales are going to win the World Cup now.
Have we got any random Welshies in tonight? Oh, God. Thought we had tighter security than that, sadly. Yeah. We'll have to have that stepped up. I love the fact you tell porno stories in front of your parents. I'm not sure many of us would get away with that.
Well, I didn't tell the full story, did I? I mean, listen.
They can read it in the Daily Mail.
He doesn't go into position.
You talk about me not getting over it. My old dear hasn't got over it because when most people we said on the show, get your England debut, it's like, you know.
Can we just literally, your mum has literally got her head in her hands.
Yeah,
James, I mean, darling, not again.
Yeah. But when I made my England debut, you know, in 2001, or sorry, 2001, 2007 even, I've had a hell of a paper run.
Just to get the old World Cup in there, wasn't it? Yeah. Superimposed in the back of John O'Lifting the trophy. Yeah, very good.
You didn't see me, I was at the
it's
back.
Buffing the CV. No one will notice this one.
When I made my debut, you know, most kids get, you know, if you saw like when Tom Curry made it, you know, exciting young player, da da da, you know, big future. When I got it was let's get ready for the Sex Nations. very proud moment with my parents. sex tries and videotapes, and my favourite of all time was England call up for Haskell with peeping Tom past. Right, a peeping Tom, that's kind of a knicker sniffing, like climbing over the window and running off with the stuff off the laundry line behaviour, isn't it?
The kind of person who's going to be renting your house next time.
Yeah.
Are you like comfortable with the fact you're not involved this time around? Or given that you know everyone going, is that.
Do you know what? I'm really disappointed for two things. Is that both the World Cups I was involved with were shambles, not related to me. mildly. But it was disappointed because. You know, the World Cup's the biggest moment of your career. I think, you know, I was very lucky to have won the Grand Slam in 2016 and do that tour to Australia. But to actually get to a World Cup, to represent your country, and hopefully, you know, you believe you're winning it. I saw in 2003 what these guys did, and it was such a watershed moment for me in terms of inspiration. I saw how the country came together. We saw the open-top bus parades. We saw, you know, how it changed rugby, how many people wanted to, you know, to be involved. You know, everyone goes on about the 66 World Cup. You know, it's the greatest thing England's ever done. And I think in 2003, they added another kind of flag in the ground. But 2011 ended really badly. And then 2015 went really well. So basically,
in 2015, they were wishing they fucking threw midgets around.
Should have got you on that. It would have been, and the problem was is that, you know, I thought in my mind that I was going to go to this World Cup. I was going to finish there, we were going to win it. You know, I've ordered a whole load of action figures, other merchandise, ready to go. Lost a load of money on the deal.
It's on sale tonight on a bargain basis.
So that was kind of disappointing. But actually, when I went into camp, we've talked about it. I feel really good about it. I'm going out there. We're going to do the House of Rugby. We're doing House of Rugby. I think we're going to do two shows a week. We're doing live shows. We're going to do some stupid stuff around in Tokyo. We're going to explore it. So I'm very excited. I went into camp. You look at Tom Curry, look at Sam Underhill, look at Billy Vunipola, Mark Wilson, these blokes.
I just thought they're more talented than me.
I thought, you know, that they're in great shape. That, you know, they're better than me. They can catch. They're not as funny, and the rigs aren't as good. But
is anyone going out of interest?
Lovely.
Oh, wow, that's quite impressive. Yeah. There's a few. Come
I'd invite you all for a beer, but I don't want to. So,
do they get concessions to our first live events?
You get half a yen off the price to our live tour show. Where are you at with it? Is it true in 2015, I know it wasn't you, but that the 03 crew are quite protective about the fact that having won the World Cup, you don't necessarily want a new crop on the block. And there was, when England went out, there was a sort of four more years.
No, there is all the time now. You know, I was so busy last week. I know you're busy all the way through the World Cup. So it's like, I really want England to get to the final. and lose.
Yeah.
It's said in jest.
It's not. Where's your medal these days?
Hidden behind a gold
Probably
medal.
Probably sold it two, some
two,
shake, haven't
Hidden
you,
behind two mind? Gold medals, a silver medal, three other gold medals.
It's quite low down on the the bog wall, isn't it?
And it's a piece of shit as well, which isn't there.
Right.
So, like, World Rugby, right? You have a tournament once every 4 years. So the wife got silver at 2012, and this thing is like that big. Ways of literally could do some damage if you someone and the thing that we won for the World Cup is like a piece of tin. It's just horrendous.
My favorite bit was the Australian Prime Minister when he just chucked him on your
the actual
mate, you fucking asshole winning that fucking thing.
The actual lanyard or whatever that it's on is very strong because he tried to garrote everyone as he handed it over. But it's very unimpressive, but I think it's hung on the bar at home.
Hung on the bar at home, as you do.
Like he's got a bar, a bit like Del Boy.
I did lend it to my local pub for about 2.5 years. They had it behind the bar.
Did I get free drinks?
Do you have an optic?
When free food, it was.
Yeah. Do you have optics on your bar, like Bailey's and Grenadine, like Del Boy? Beautiful.
Only does... Only serves pina coladas at the bar.
Who's going to be a lucky lady? Put the old medal on. I imagine it's like roaring log fires with actual real bears like dead on the thing. Something like that. No?
Just like that. Everything I've hunted. Yes.
Load of poor people's heads on the wall.
Yeah. We could have a ladyboy. Yeah.
Bailey's, gin and tonic, pint lager, ladyboys.
Have you messaged Eddie? Have you said good luck? Go well, have fun, enjoy?
I messaged him a couple of weeks ago. And said, congratulations on the win against Italy. Good luck. How's the squad going? He said, it's progressing, mate, is what he wrote. And then he said, I'll see you out in Japan for some sushi and beer. So if he's paying with the RFU card, I'll be there.
Happy day.
Tis no man. Tis an eating machine. I'll be like, I'm filling my pockets. Because Chloe's coming out as well, so I can't take her because that'd be awkward. But I'll have to bring food. I'll have to bring food back for her in a satchel. There we are.
Very nice.
We're all staying in an Airbnb, aren't we?
We are indeed, off the back of your endorsement deal. Yes.
Welcome.
Charity.
Oh, you're welcome. My house, don't worry about it.
So, you can down tools for this bit, because I do actually want to know about...
I know what you're going to say. What it's like to win a World Cup, you smug fuck.
Don't look at me, look right.
Yeah. That's left. You were doing it, digging the knife in.
What set 2003 apart?
Well, no, I think it started way before the World Cup. Obviously, it started probably in 1999 when we lost to South Africa in the quarterfinals. Then the worst defeat in English history in the World Cup. Fortunately, 2015.
I played 45 minutes. It's nothing to do with me.
I think it would. We went there in a completely different mindset of where I think any team going this year is because. I was a young guy, 24 years old. I've gone over there and I'd never lost to Australia going into a World Cup, never lost to New Zealand going into a World Cup. We lost once to South Africa in 2000, played New Zealand 3 times, played Australia 5 times, played South Africa probably 5 times and lost once. So you're going in there and you've got no fear of... And that I think the team sort of changed. You had a few hang-ups still in 99 about Southern Hemisphere teams, whereas that sort of got smashed out of the water. We'd obviously lost a Grand Slam to Scotland, to Ireland, and then we lost second game of the Six Nations to France. So we'd lost to home nations, but we'd never lost to Southern Hemisphere. So we were feeling pretty confident that you could go over there and do it. It was quite a unique scenario to be in.
Did you leave thinking, this is ours to lose? You left. You had that mindset from the start?
Yeah, for sure. It's just never been in a situation where we were that worried about anything. We didn't have hang-ups. We just had this great balanced squad with a good coaching group and felt that we could go over there and deliver. I think the summer of 2003, winning those two games, had really pushed the confidence through and we knew it was ours to lose. I think we didn't play very good rugby in that World Cup just because we knew we just had to get it done in whatever way and we didn't take that many risks, but...
So when you look back at that now, obviously the results play a huge part in forming the confidence and the belief, etc. But who were the individuals and what were the sort of the intangibles that none of us would know that were the reason that you won it? Do you know what I mean?
I think you go through individuals, you go through leadership. I know Eddie's got a big thing about leadership at the moment, but then that sort of naturally covered it off. You had Jason, you had obviously Jono, you had the back row, all three of them in terms of leadership. You had Dorse. You had Will, and then everyone else was a little bit younger, Johnny, who'd obviously been around since 1998.
Yeah.
Then sort of myself, Benny Cohen, Bolsh, Josh were probably a bit newer. But so you had that sort of spine of great leaders. And then even on the bench, you had people who'd been around for years and years, whether it be Wig, whether it be Dorian West. So it just flowed sort of throughout the team. And we had a relationship where we dictated what went on. So Clive would come up with ideas or the coaches, and then he would listen to his senior players. That's gone a little bit now, whereas people like Eddie doesn't really want people who really challenge him that much. And Stuart didn't want older guys. He wanted people who he could sort of mould to how he wanted. Whereas then when the shit hits the fan on the field, we knew how to deal with it. Where sometimes it's been proved in the past that they didn't.
Is that true, that Eddie doesn't like to be challenged? And who does get as close to challenging him as possible?
Look, I think you've got to be a very brave person to challenge Eddie kind of in front of people. I think that's a mistake that people make in business and in life. You know, you've got something to say, it's always good to take someone to one side, because especially men, we don't take criticism very well. We've all got kind of quite... We've got egos, you know, we're not that compassionate in comparison to women. So I think it, you know, sometimes it is hard to do that. But I think Eddie, what he does is he'll consult key guys and in a forum where he's comfortable to share ideas. I don't think anyone's gone in and said, look, we don't agree with this. But I think he welcomes feedback. We've had moments where, you know, we've had group feedback where people will sit down at a table and genuinely say, these are the issues, we'll feed that back in. And because we're doing an open forum, it's not directed at him, and he is able to listen. So I think you don't want to challenge coach, but I think you want to be honest. And I think he's created an environment where there is honesty and people are eager to kind of share their ideas. And he does rely very heavily on Owen and, you know, George Ford in terms of that attack mentality. But, you know, one thing about Eddie is, I've talked about it before, is that in professional rugby and professional sport, the mental side of the game is massively undervalued. And he does a lot of scenario training, but he does it with special sections of the team. So the junior guys who haven't got many caps, got any experience, sometimes they can be left by the wayside. But he will have a meeting with Steve Borthwick, with Neil Hatley, with those guys, clue them up, talk about the demands that they're required for the team, put them through different situations. Then he's kind of got the middle of the road lads, and then he's got kind of the senior players, then he's got different teams, and he's constantly working. So, you know, what a lot of people in the past, you know, we used to train for hours with England, and it wasn't necessarily the best use of time. With Eddie, you know, it was essentially from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. But the training was kind of short and intense, but there was requirements for meetings the entire time. You would always be going from one meeting to another meeting to another meeting with different groups, different things. You know, back row would have a meeting, the defence team would have a meeting. And it was always very useful and very honest, that environment you create, that dialogue.
Did he ever do a meeting going, right, you're 31-0 ahead against Scotland?
Yeah. Nah, it's funny he didn't do, yeah.
How do you recover... when you're 38, 31 down.
Yeah, he didn't cover that one. I don't think even he saw that coming, unfortunately. Otherwise, it would have been quite useful.
What are they going to be doing now? I mean, how much training, how much contact, how intense is it within the England squad right now?
It's intense. It will be intense.
So they're hitting, are they knocking each other about in the paddock?
Look,
or are they beginning to get themselves ready?
You know, look, first of all, the big belief of Steve Borthwick and Eddie Jones and stuff is that doing things is a habit. So if you're asking guys to put shoulders on, not full smash, you know, you expect a shoulder on. He will call you up. If you run up and do the kind of touch situation, you've got to put your body in front. But obviously with that becomes a sense of don't be an idiot. Like, I remember Joe Launchbury was telling me that his very first session that Tom Curry had and Ben Curry, obviously incredible players, absolute keynotes. Like, you know, they're like bred in a factory. Like, I'm some sort of laboratory to make them into players. And in the middle of a team run, Joe Launchbury's gone for a carry, and Tom Curry's just sickled him at the knees, like in the middle of a go. And like, obviously Launches is, you know, can get a little bit het up. So there was a bit of like, what the fuck are you doing? He gets quite high pitched. what are you doing? So you have to be kind of quite specified. Go, lads, listen, no dickheads. This is what we're gonna do. And it will be physical. There will be times where the forwards will go off and you're asked to ramp up for 2 or 3 minutes. But in terms of like consistent bone on bone, no. But your requirements are to constantly peak. And the way Eddie does things is that standards have to be the highest the whole time. If anything is, even when we're doing, I think I told the story actually, I was showing some people around Penny Hill Park. They obviously couldn't get any current players.
they're all in Japan.
And they were basically talking about when we went down to Brighton. It was on a Monday, right? So Monday is a learning day. You're just walking through your moves. So we're going through, and Carl Sinclair took the ball into an imaginary contact situation, just put it through his legs, rugby league style. Eddie just shouts, "Steve!" Which Steve knows is like, fuck, something hasn't gone wrong. So Borthers whistles and says, "What do we do when we place the ball?" And this pitch in Brighton, it had been raining, it was pouring, it was like early November, and there was like liquid mud and water on top of the field. Right, so he just been, Sinks had just been sensible. And Borthers went, "No, we get down on the floor in long place." So he gave Sinks the ball. Sinks had to go dive on the floor, full mud, long place, right, covered in it. Okay, so we had Gary Graham, who subsequently became a traitor and went off to Scotland. And he was, it was his first day in the squad. So I was taking the ball off nine, and I called for it. I caught the ball. And they were shouting long place. I saw Gary Graham. I was like, tipped it to him. Long place, Gary. Right.
And that is what you call experience.
Right. And then, he went fucking into the mud, right? Face first, soaked. Like, you know, instantly that moment when you were at school, when you hit the water and you're like, it soaks through to the bone instantly. He's long place. He gets up looking at me. And I was like, sorry, bro. Anyway, carried on. Next thing again, got the ball at nine. And they're like, long place, Haskell's like, tip. It was Gary again. You know, honestly.
He came out looking
like a feast ice lolly. Yeah. It was pretty incredible.
Does Eddie run a very stable ship in terms of every day of the week is the same week? So Monday, you say, walk-through patterns. It's Tuesday, it's probably bone on bone. Yeah. Wednesday, just a power.
So
what is bone on bone?
Bone on bone?
Used to be something
posh kids like you knew all about.
You called it crossing swords at school.
Soggy biscuit and all that with the lads.
Very good.
No, well, us real men were out, tackling each other.
Bone on bone is just full on. And forwards normally do it twice. They call it double goo. So morning will be a forward session, mauling, scrummaging, and then the afternoon you'll do a bit of full team goo.
Well, what's interesting with Eddie is that actually, to answer your question, is that he constantly changes the plan. So he will come in and they will be like, right, we're going to do this. You expect it. They'll be like, he'll just rip it up and be like, no, we're going to do this. Actually, there's more bodies are sore. Because I told you that basically in the morning you have a wellness sheet. It's now done on an app. Everyone's gone digital. So what would happen is, back in the day, you'd have to put, out of five, how you're feeling. So one, you're mega. Five, you're dead, right?
Car crash, right?
And I'd played a game. I had a bit of an upset stomach, right? I wasn't feeling very well, so I put a five, right? Nobody looked at it. So I just went and trained everyone, because I was like, it was my cry for help. Everyone ignored me, okay? The next time I did it, same thing. I put like body was really sore, neck was sore, played like 80 minutes of was, put a four down for soreness, five down because I was ill again. Right, and John Wells came up to me like, "Hask, what are you doing? If it was a World Cup final tomorrow, you train?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, would." He goes, "We're fucking training." And I was like, "Well, what is the point of this fucking form? What is the absolute point?" So with Eddie, right, when he first came in, we had two things. We got the app. You got a sliding bar, like 1 out of 10. Right, so you're sore back. How's your neck? How's your back? How's your legs? How's your fit? Everything. So put it all in. How do you sleep? And obviously, it's variable in camp. Sometimes, Penny Hill, there's some fantastic hotel, but the rooms can get very hot, like 2,000 degrees. Sometimes the foie gras and champagne isn't quite chilled as you would want. Your hot tub's a little bit warm. It's very hard. It's a very hard life. So you put these things on there, and then basically no one looked at it again. And Eddie's like, how are you feeling? I said, well, I put this stuff down. And he was like, you can see him going, right, mate. And honestly, he obviously took the doctor who was supposed to be looking at it. The doctor came out with like one solitary tear. So the next morning, he put it down, and I was sore again, and I was instantly taken out of a session, looked after. I was like, no, actually, I can train it. He was like, no, mate, you fucking put this down the form, you got to do this. So, yeah, they started looking at it. So at the moment, they do manage it, and he will change things up. Yeah. But normally, kind of a Monday is a learning day. The Tuesday is kind of a forwards day and weights with a bit more of a physical afternoon. Wednesday's a day off, but it's not a day off. He'll do skills. So everything Eddie done is a habit. So even if you're doing pool recovery, he'll have nets and balls. So lads will be throwing single hand catching, line out work, whatever it might be. The Thursday's the fast session where you would go do weights in the morning, feel good stuff. Then you go in and put the England kit on. Because the training's like bam, bam, bang. It's not like old school thing where you're out there for 2 hours. It's like weights, straight from weights into breakdown work, into outside, into rugby, fast session. Friday's a casual team run at kind of Twickenham, kind of a feel-good thing. And then you play Saturday. Obviously, the World Cup is condensed, and he will be looking at how the players are feeling. Yeah. Because, again, different hotels the whole time, different training, different food. It can massively affect you, how you want to perform. Because my big bugbear with, like, Premiership teams is and French teams is like the infrastructure. So they spend all this money on players, especially in France, and they put you on a 12-hour bus journey.
Well, especially in France.
Yeah, especially for a 12-hour bus journey, put you up in like a Novotel where you're sleeping on two fish finger beds,
simply
which are 90% springs at 2,000 degrees.
They call Formula One.
Yeah,
there,
Formula I think it's like. Formula and they'll put the and they'll give you like, you know, just terrible food.
And then they won't play. French gets it's fucking 2 years.
Yeah, and you'll play really badly. And I remember once at Stamford Bridge, we had an 8-hour bus journey to Toulon. We played there. All the lads at every petrol station were getting out having a tab, right? I saw one of the French players, idea of nutrition. He basically, the team doctor was a guy that would help dictate the nutrition. He was a big fat bloke as well, which is a bit odd. And really don't take advice from fat people about nutrition. You know? But anyway, and he basically went into this petrol station, and the first thing he picked up, bear in mind he's a French international, was a Rustler microwave burger. Yeah. And he picks it up and looks at the doctor, he's like, Doctor's like, no. Right? Walks over, picks up like a brie. He's like, oui? He's like, no. He finally, after half an hour of oui, non, for like Mars bars, brie, can of lager, he settled on a bottle of water and a chicken and ham sandwich pre-game. So we played this game. Funnily enough, we stayed in a toilet hotel, got absolutely battered, then got a bus journey back, and basically the coach turned around and said, the next day, or the manager of the team said, right, that's it. We're taking away your ticket allowance the next game. You have to pay for your friends and family, and we're not stopping the bus anymore on these journeys because you're all eating junk food. And I was like, just a question. Do you think it's to do with the smoking and the 8-hour bus journey in a terrible hotel? Like, no roast beef. You know, so that was it.
Away.
So that's what really pisses me off. So with the World Cup thing, obviously Eddie will have, they've gone and done recces and checked everything out, and he'll know everything seamlessly. But there are still elements that you've got to consider.
Should have stayed in the Airbnb house.
Yeah, should have done, yeah.
Brian Ashton. Oh, good shout.
What, 2007?
Yeah,
pretty shit, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Brian. I actually really...
Is Brian Ashton here?
You never know, he might watch it. His wife was in media, so she might watch it. He was brilliant in, like, 1999, 2000, 2001, and then there was this huge buzz that he was coming back in 2007. Now, the reason he was so good in sort of 2000 to 2001 and two, he was allowed to just go off and he'd go back to his room at night and he'd start writing down plays. And he'd write down these plays, he'd bring them out the next day. He had one called Slingshot, literally the best fucking move that's ever been invented.
Because Catty
could basically one hand, so instead of throwing it like that, like in American football, he could do it underarm like that and he could throw it about 60 meters. It was incredible. On the money every time. So the play was basically, Ireland will know this, it's a run around. Ireland fucking know that, don't they? So basically, Catty would be at 12, and as they do a run around, he'd turn his back and he would go underarm throw to the winger. So he'd miss like five people, undefendable, because it went that fast. It either hit 15 Bolsh or it hit Jason.
Yeah.
So it was like, try. And Clive went absolutely mad. He's like, what the fuck is that? You can't use that. It's like, well, we've run it three times against our own defence and we've scored every single time. It's like, well, you can't run that. It just doesn't look right. All right. So he'd go away and come up with all these mad moves, which is fine because then the players would like bin off a few and we'd do the ones that we thought would work. When you put him in charge and he actually has to think about forwards and like scrums and like, he has never fucking thought about that in his life. So the forwards would turn out and go, look, we just need some direction. What do you want us to do? Just play what you see in front of you.
Blank canvas.
Julian fucking White does not see much in front of him. He sees someone he wants to punch and he just wants someone to take it in there so he can do it. So yeah, it basically just didn't work because he was so obsessed with just play what you see, play what you see. It just didn't work. And then sort of in that World Cup, I wasn't there, but I think the players just sort of took control of it a bit more to put the nuts and bolts in.
Do you remember in did you do the pre-World Cup stuff there?
Down in Bath.
Yeah. So we did all the stuff in Bath and we went to Browns in Portugal, which is a training camp area. And we spent 2 weeks just doing exits. So basically, when it came, like exit plays, obviously 22, kicking it out, and they had this move called green seats, which is in Twickenham, hit the green seats.
It's a Clive thing.
Right? But it was like, that's all we did for 2 weeks. And we got for those warm-up games. I was going to like Joe Wurz. I was like, Joe, what's the
We're outside our 22. What the hell do we do?
I was like, what's the plan? He was like, I don't know. And I was like, well, if you don't know, how am I supposed to know? But it was where, it was, that was at that World Cup camp, was where I got summoned to Big Lowell's room. And he was like, Hash, mate, come to room 452, order an afternoon tea for the lads, right? So I obviously ordered an afternoon tea, because, you know, when Lawrence calls, you come, you know, when he... You come, come.
Well, you come.
So you're going to say, come, come.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's not. I was like,
warm the loose, see Hask. Warm the loose.
A whole bonding.
So, the equivalent of those two geeks back there with the shirt on. Yeah. That's Hask to Lowell.
Sorry, Mr. Lally, sir. The afternoon tea's just coming. I've warmed the screen. Right. And so, anyway, I turned up to his room. And basically, Lawrence, for the first
penthouse
4 weeks, had had knee surgery. So, I'll give you an example. We went to an army camp. Right, and all Lowell did was ride around at the back of a pickup truck, Brian Ashton, the other coaches, like handing out advice, like royalty. and what they do is he was doing absolutely fuck all, right? But he apparently he'd get back to his tent, he'd go, whoa, really earned this, having a Mars bar and shit, where all the lads in his team are like flat out. So they won that army award, right? They won the army award, and Lowell stood up at the front of the queue, let everyone else walk past him. And he was last one up, and he got the trophy. Like he's, you know, like when the red light used to go up on the TV, he'd start crying. Like he was so well trained, he like knew exactly what he was doing. Well, he calls me up for afternoon tea, and he sits there. And he's like, Hask, I'll be talking to Brian. We decided we're going to take you to the World Cup. And I was like, oh, are you picking the team, are you? You know, he's like, well, I was like, because you haven't really trained or done anything. He's like, well, we're going to take you. You know, can't take Nick Easley, fucking Harlequins, can't take him along. You know, we're going to take you. We'll take you along, you know, take Cozza, obviously myself, goes without saying. And so I finished the afternoon tea, which I paid for. He's cash money, and then I got fucking dropped. So, you know, never trust the lull. Keep your friends close, your enemies closer. But anyway, that was 2007 for me.
Great
pants
days.
Pants fall down.
Great days. How in God's name do you pass the hours and hours and hours? Actually, I saw the Ireland squad went sumo wrestling today, but how do you pass the hours when you're not in it?
The
playing,
beautiful
training,
thing about
etc.
Japan, right, is A, it's an incredible cultural city, so there's a few culture vultures in the England team of being out already and going visiting the tea houses and everything else. But what Japan has is over 100 meg broadband, right, which is different level.
I was sure you were going down the Love Hotel.
No, not with my wife here. Right, the 100 meg broadband, right? So obviously in England, you can't finish a phone call in your car, on a train, anywhere. They're worried about 5G. I mean, the Japanese is pissing all over that, right? So 100 meg, so what you do is you just turn it on and download 10 series in 15 minutes, 45 gig, and then just sit in the room. So they'll be flat out streaming.
It's a series.
Courtney will be getting, yeah. Wow.
Whatever. You know? What did you do in 03 in Oz?
They didn't have broadband in 03, did they?
Yeah. It was fucking red.
Yeah. Good
like, no, phoning home. Yeah. Phoning home.
425, Mike Tindall, please. Let's be doing. Do you remember that?
Benefit on the other side, though.
Do you remember when
you
were single, right, as well? If you were single back in the day, you had to call up, like, speak to the girl via her house, like, speak to her parents. Her dad would be like, hello? Like, hello? Can I speak to Sarah, please? Now it's just swiping, isn't it? Like that. No chat, no rigmarole.
No,
just
no interaction. Yeah. No, I wouldn't know. Series is back then. Series, we had 18 days in Perth in the start, and we did a recce at the end of the 2003 summer tour. So we'd had 7 days there to acclimatise and get to know our favourite bits. So we had quite a good time in Perth.
Right.
But yes, series is mainly how it is.
But
yes. There's a great story. We went in the summer tour. We went to a wine tasting. You either went to play golf or go wine tasting, and some of the boys went wine tasting. Obviously, we're at the end of the year. No one's drinking, so no one was spitting. I hate to think how much wine was supped that day. And anyway, just the guy's trying to give this really in depth chat on this thing, and Graham Roundtree stood up. Drop the biggest fart you've ever heard. I went, here, Chief, pick the fucking grapes out of that.
No.
Oh, the old fart gag working wonders.
I tell you what a lot of lads do as well is, in the evenings, they'll go to one player's room and they'll play cards and everything else like that. There's like a little card, not gambling.
Who's the best card shop?
No, it's not like that. It's just, I don't know, they play arsehole or something. Again, it's the type of game. Yeah, shithead and all that stuff, yeah.
So they'll play arsehole.
You know all about that.
Don't play coy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But they play that. But it's also time for a bit.
He's more of a red arse type of guy.
Yeah, he is actually. Yeah, but they do that with the table tennis, like red arse. You know, if you spell red arse, you get slapped on the bum. Yeah. But what they're doing is that it's time for a little bit of contraband coming out. So there was a player who used to play for England called Davey Wilson, aka the Moose, right? And Moose, just to give you a bit of background, was a kid when he broke his arm when he was younger, right? And after a couple of weeks, he wanted to go out and ride his bike, so he just pulled the cast off. So one of his arms set like that. genuinely. So that's why he's got an unbelievable out-the-back-door pass on one hand.
Doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, he can't do anything. He just like, they call it a giddly after that Australian player. He just giddly it the whole time. So what you do is that Moose, you know, they'll be on to him about his body fats the whole time, massive man. And every night at Penny Hill, you just see the shadow of the Moose coming through the car park out of the mist with two shopping bags from the M&S service station with just contraband. I started sharing a room for him, and it was like chocolate mini bites, Welsh cakes. So the lads in Japan will know that, get round, there'll be a little contraband. Joe Marler's keen on a little bit of, you know, a few biscuit boasters and a few things and everything else like that, and they'll have a chat, have a bit of food and everything else.
Sappuccino.
Yeah, Sappuccino. Massive Sappuccino.
Who is most intensely policed in the current England squad?
What, weight-wise?
Yeah.
Mako. Well, I tell you what.
Billy must be up there,
there's
too.
There's a great
story. The Vunipolas must be high on their list.
Yeah, I mean, Mako's thing is, what, apparently Mako at Saracens, is a great story, is that there's a guy at Saracens called George, but they called him Feeble George because he must have been small, right? So they called him Feeble George. And what Mako would do every morning, he would come in, and George would go, "Have you weighed in, Mako?" And Mako would fuck off and stand over there, right? And he'd make Feeble George stand over there. Mako would get on the scales, weigh himself, and write whatever he wanted. And Feeble George would like look over, and Mako would go, "Fuck off, Feeble George." Right, and he'd say that, but apparently, right, one time, that obviously Feeble George has been around the squad, and just picture this moment, because there's a similar story in a minute, is that Feeble George obviously wanted to be part of the squad. And what's happened is that as he's come through the door, Chris Ashton's walked over and gone, "Phoebs," right, to high-five him. Apparently, Feeble George's face is lit up. Like, this is his moment. He's a bomb with Chris Ashton and everything else. So he's gone to high-five him. As he's gone to high-five him, Chris Ashton's dick-shotted him. Right? Feeble George has doubled over. Dave Strettler's come in the door behind him and pulled his pants down, pushed him over. So it's incredible.
But there's no recovering from that.
There's no recovery from that.
You're fucked. You might as well leave. Hand in your notice. I'm moving clubs.
But the best, even worse than that, of all the people, you know, we talked about Tim Payne and the Sappuccino thing, that he's not real negative, but unbelievable professional, incredibly fit. When we went back to RGS, so sometimes you go, when we were at WASP, we used to go back and train at Harrow, train at RGS, and there'll be sometimes players that had just left the year before. So they'd been in the upper six, they'd come into the WASP Academy, and they'd gone back. And there was a guy called Pete Elder, who was a big, big bloke. We nicknamed him Megatron. And he was a big guy, a bit weird, looked like a massive Jonathan Creek. And he big, like, you know, frizzy afro thing. And he basically had gone back to the school and was with all his mates who had been in the lower six, upper six, that were like obviously worshipping him. He was walking around with the crew thinking he was all that, right? And for some reason, of all the people, he's seen Painter walk through the car park, and he's gone, "Yo, Painter!" And Payne's gone, "Fuck off, Elder, no one likes you, you prick." And walked off, and honestly, all of his crew have just gone like melted into the bushes like a homeless innocent, and he's just left there like that. And I was thinking, I said to him, "Mate, of all the people, why would you choose Painter? I wouldn't say hello, Painter." So it was his big moment. Painter just timed it so well, destroyed him.
Knowing your audience.
Know your audience, yeah.
Skittled. So we're going to have a 10-minute break, or maybe a 15-minute break. Before we do that, we're just going to tell everyone we are a podcast and a YouTube show. We're available every Wednesday. This week on TKO with Carl Frampton, the boys were in Muhammad Ali's former training camp, Deer Lake, to find out about some of the great man's secrets.
Corporate. Hey! Corporate. Wind up, bro.
Sit the fuck back down!
I'm sure you did that as you went down.
There's a TKO trail. Have a drink. See you in 50 minutes. Tins and ask a round of applause.
The rope-a-dope. We didn't know it was a rope-a-dope, but I remember them playing with the ropes, size of the ring, looseness of the rope.
Yeah, so he could...
He could lean and get back. You know, all of that stuff was negotiated before these fights of what they would agree to. And I remember the reporter saying, so you, at the age of what, knew about the rope-a-dope before it was even known as a rope-a-dope? I said, yeah, we didn't know it was called that, but after this all happened, it's like, that's what they were doing up there. They were playing with the ropes, making it so that he could lean back, because he was so fast, he could lean back and get away from these punches, tire the guy out, you know?
So how many people, when you would come up here, how many people would be up here?
Sometimes there wouldn't be anybody up here. You know, we would come up at nighttime and he'd say, come on back up. And, you know, we would sit over in the corner here and watch reel-to-reel films of Jack Johnson, which you got a style
really?
From. All these old fights. And then he'd send somebody out. He'd say, okay, get some ice cream. And they'd bring ice cream back for the kids and stuff.
That's David Krause on TKO in Muhammad Ali's former training camp. And don't forget the House of Rugby Facebook group. Thousands upon thousands of you are on there. And very entertaining fair it is too.
It's like you prompted them.
Yeah.
Who would have thunked it? That'll get another two people into it. Is anyone here in the Facebook group?
Yeah.
I've never been into the Facebook group.
Yeah, funny enough, neither have I.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I can't think why not.
Welcome back to our show here at The Prince in Southwest London. Yay! Now we're having a bit of a rhythm to it. I'm Alex Payne alongside James Haskell and Mike Tindall and 400 or so people.
Yay!
Good, now we're in the mood. We've got various bits and bobs to get through. Some of this is going to be quite chaotic, but we relish and embrace the chaos. Before we do that, just a couple of bits and bobs on the tournament to come. Japan, having lived there in a paper house and played for Rico.
Yeah.
What are we going to get?
Look, I think it's going to be interesting for the first games is that each team's had such a build-up now. You've got to remember that while there are Tier 1 and Tier 2 nations and are different kind of divisions of wealth, everybody has got kind of video analysis. Everyone's going to be conditioned the same. Everyone's going to be prepping. So I'm interested to see whether it's going to be fireworks or pragmatism for the first weekend. I think, you know, if you follow social media, and obviously that's only one perspective, you'll see that the lads are fully embracing the culture. Obviously, Japan, we talked about the fans on the show before, they're very welcoming. You know, they fully embrace it.
Have you been quite impressed by the reception and the noise that's being made?
Yeah, but I always knew that was going to be the case. You know, they're extremely welcoming people. I think, you know, I said before, the fans are, they almost lack a little bit of spontaneity, but they're organised cheerers. I told you at the Rico, for Rico Black Rams, we had a guy dressed as a dinosaur that organised the cheering. So they wouldn't cheer unless the dinosaur dude cheered. But the weird thing was that we were Rico Black Ram, so I still to this day don't understand why he was a green dinosaur. But things like, you know, the fans, they love the Southern Hemisphere sides because they have a lot more access to it. So the All Blacks for them are, you know, the pinnacle of everything, as are South Africa, Australia. They're not that fussed about kind of Northern Hemisphere sides because, again, the content they get over there on TV.
Wales looked all right, the training ground.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they
must have thought
they
were
coming to watch the All Blacks. Yeah,
they clearly got lost.
So I think it will be interesting. I think, you know, what I'm excited by is just the atmosphere, the professionalism, the organisation, the attention to detail that's going to happen. And I think for the players, look, it's a once in a lifetime experience to go over there and have a World Cup. You know, I was gutted when we did the Saxons trips. The lads would go to Canada, they go to America. I stayed at a bloody Marriott in London. I played at Twickenham. So that wasn't kind of my great experience. And my World Cup's in New Zealand, which isn't that exciting. England, brilliant. I kind of gutted that I didn't get to go to Japan and see, you know, experience the whole thing.
Who's going to win it?
Jesus Christ. This is why we don't do interactive shows. I think New Zealand go in favourites and probably rightly so, but I think the winner will come from that side. I think New Zealand win their group, I think England win their group, and I think it'll be England, New Zealand that semi, and I think the winner of that wins it. I think England go over there with arguably the strongest squad out of any team that's out there.
Yeah.
They've got to get that consistency right. I was trying to think whether they've got a good run of matches or whether it's hell, because obviously they play the first two, they get their freebies out the way, which is a good thing, but at the same time, if they don't hit the ground running and they don't score the points, just in case they have a blip down the line, it might come down to points. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? And then, obviously, if they want to win the whole thing, they've got to go six tier one teams back to back, week in, week out, for 5 weeks. Now, it's a big call. They need to rely on players not getting... Well, actually, I said they've got the DB squad, so fuck it, they can get injuries. otherwise, my theory wouldn't hold up. I think that's a tough way to go, but I would prefer to do that so it keeps you in that mental zone where you're not dropping any... They can sort of ease into finding their form. Obviously, they want to explode out of the box if they could, whereas if you look at New Zealand and South Africa, they basically play a hard match and...
Yeah,
take a smirk, you know. So I think obviously they go through their group and they just wander through. So I'm not sure what the best way of doing it is, but yeah. At the end of the day, if you want to win a World Cup, you've got to beat the best teams. You can't really pray about having an easier route. You've just got to do it. And with SA and All Blacks in that, they're the two of the teams that people expect to be in the mix. They split immediately, so you're going to have to beat one of them in the semi-finals. In a long-winded way, I hope England win, but I still think NZ are probably just going favourites, and I hope I'm proved wrong.
Should we do a little straw poll? You up for a straw poll? Should we have a little cheer for... Let's have a cheer for Wales.
Yay!
Hey, everyone!
That was the test. Good security, they're by the bar.
Take them outside.
Escort them to their horse and cart, please.
Have we got anyone here who is genuinely backing Ireland?
Hey! Lovely.
Tins will meet you for a seminar afterwards, and we'll put that to bed. Anyone who put a pound on France? It's going up.
Yeah.
South Africa. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Okay. genuinely, who here but would back New Zealand at this point? We are definitely in Southwest London.
It's easy, really, isn't it?
Cravats and gilets on.
Wait, two things that will get cheers around here is when you say the next thing, and also if I say, who should have been in the squad? Danny Cipriani! Everyone goes, way! Easy. Oi, it's like shooting fish in a barrel with you lot. See, so easy. I've done a dinner. And they went, who would you leave, put in the squad if you could? And I just went, Danny Cipriani. And everyone goes, way! So easy, isn't it? Fish you all in.
Should we do it?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on for the fun. Who here would back England to win the World Cup?
Yay!
Four runs.
Yeah.
That's a huge surprise and a turn up for the Blues.
Yeah.
Are they? How well set are they?
Look. Who?
I didn't hear that.
Scotland.
A Scotland in the
World Cup. We're going that far down there. We're going to the Tier 2 nations. Oh,
imagine Scotland. So... Lovely, do you know what the best thing is? That he used to work at Sky, right? He never swore. He was super efficient.
Fuck but that.
Now he's on here. He's mugging the Scots off, which is dangerous. I mean, to be fair, if they lose Japan, I reckon it'll be... We're just giving their independence vote, because I don't want to be...
We'll cut them off the top, cut along the dotted line.
When they realise that oil runs out, they come back and they're going, could we please pay for us? We're like, fuck off. You lost to Japan, go away.
I think Japan could top that group.
it is an interesting one. I think... I don't know. What are you asking?
I don't know. I've no idea. Where do you want to go with it? How well set are England, genuinely?
We're very dangerous in this country. We specialise in getting overexcited for fucking no rational reason most of the time. And we love seeing them build up. And if there's one wobble, we will come at them like, a bull in a china shop. The media will cut them all down. Our journalists love knifing us. So it is a very dangerous time. Do you know why? Because there hasn't been any rugby for a few weeks. We're all getting overexcited. We're all building up to the World Cup. We're all talking. You literally just have to wait and see what's going to happen. And the point is that in 2007, the lads lost, against, was it South Africa? That was over, and they managed to turn it round. I think the first two games are perceived as easy wins, but actually... It is going to be tough. Things can happen. I'm just quietly kind of confident, but a little bit nervous. I don't want to talk any more about it. I don't want to over-egg it, because we just don't want to see... Good. We don't want to see any mistakes and stuff, because we do that a lot in this place. Like in 2015, for some reason, when it comes to sports fans and journalists, we don't show a lot of rationality. We always believe our team should win. Well, there wouldn't be a betting industry if your team won every time. But in 2015, we hadn't beaten anyone consistently. Yeah, we did the 0-2, big send-off. On stage, we take that. Funniest thing was all the lads like, fucking take that, they're shit. As soon as they got off on stage, Danny Kerr's like, relight my fire. You're like, Jack Knowles like, don't even know who take that on. He's giving it all that.
Didn't Jamie George fall over on the way?
Yeah, fell upstairs.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because you normally fall down the stairs, don't really trip up the stairs. Like, bop, 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 bop.
He makes quite a lot of howlers, doesn't he? He gets knocked out by Carl Frampton, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, Billy Joe Saunders, Billy Joe Saunders. You know, I tested, I messaged him the other day.
How did he take that?
Well, I got...
Sorry, this is the story where you told that...
He got knocked out and pissed himself.
Yeah.
It's on my Instagram, it's worth having a look
quarter
at.
Quarter of a million viewers and listeners.
No, but the thing with it was is that... So when I post things about some of the stories, I try never to throw anyone over the bus. I'd actually told that story before on my YouTube. But a few people in the world of social media, which you just got to deal with, everyone's got an opinion, but people are like, you fucking prick, you're throwing your teammates under the bus and everything else. So I thought, oh, maybe I've gone a bit too far. So I messaged him. He didn't reply. And I was like, oh. And then he turns out he just too big time. And then he did reply, and he wasn't a sensitive sausage. He found it very funny. So we were all right. So we're fine.
Good. I'm going to ask you to pick us a World Cup bolter, but you know absolutely nothing about rugby, no. So I'm going to come to you first of all.
Right. Pick one name.
You'll go with Owen. Hass would generally go with Owen Farrell as someone who might well do well at this World Cup. Who would you pick as an outsider to go...
What, as in a team?
No, as a player.
Team Fiji.
Good.
Good shout. Yeah. With their back line that they've got. Look, it's quite hard to pick a bolter. I think the new Kiwi winger... Because their group, I think he's going to score a bolt for that's Sevu Reese.
I knew his name. You're welcome.
I just think, you know, he's had three appearances, scored three tries, I think, in the Rugby Championship. And he's got, you know, he's got Namibia, Italy, and scored a bagful against Italy. And then who's the other one?
Yeah.
Someone else.
We don't really know a lot about, yeah. Listen, if you want to get nosed off, go and watch another podcast where they talk all about rugby. I don't care. We don't need you on here. We don't like it. Take your business elsewhere. Go and listen to Goody. No one gives a shit. Yeah. Oi.
What about Goody?
We've got so many listeners, they can have some. Yeah. We don't need it. Oi.
It's like honestly, chips at the poker table.
We're all in.
Oi, I'm so high up that chart, I'm getting a nosebleed because of Virgo. Don't worry about it. We're fine. Yeah, big nosebleed this year. Yeah.
Hopefully, no nosebleeds. We'd have to evacuate. Yeah.
Can you answer a simple question? Pick us a World Cup bolter.
Cipriani. Hey. Bolting from. Well, there you go. You could have just dropped in Rob Howley. He's a bolter. He's fucking.
Boy,
we're unraveling again. We're unraveling.
If you love me, put yourself on
your side. You wanted a bolter. I'm going to say someone from Ireland.
Right.
Tad Furlong.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's Tad. Right, this is turning into a
shambles. Tim Furlong's going to be absolutely wicked.
Rugby Nose.
You wanted us to ask questions. Of course you do.
What's that new winger for Scotland? He's apparently the shit.
Darcy Graham. Good shout. But I love the fact the audience know more about the game than either of you two. Yeah. That's a sort of...
that's not a great thing.
At least I knew how to prompt.
Muzzletron, please you bring us a chair. Okay, so we are moving into the fun and games section, everybody. This is where, I mean, you thought it was unravelling at this point. We're about to seriously... We've got two beasts on stage. It's time to welcome an absolute beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, could we please give an uproarious welcome to Mrs. Haskell. Mrs. Chloe Haskell, come on up.
Good to move.
I'm going to come up for a smooch, because I like that. Thank you very much indeed.
Sorry, get your hands off your wife, bro.
No, that's right. Tins are like a...
Oh,
I'm sitting there.
Exactly.
And Chloe needs a microphone as well.
Handshake.
You're in that chair, you're in the sanctum. Hit him in the... How are you?
She keeps him in a handbag, so it's not a problem.
How is it living with the angry man? I mean, fucking hell. I mean, we struggle with him. How are you finding life with the Hoff?
I think his response to being retired is just to be so busy that it's completely fine. I'm not best thrilled about the MMA situation. But other than that,
don't worry,
he won't remember it either.
When he said, "Darling, I've had an idea and someone's come to me with this," your reaction was?
I laughed and said, "Absolutely not."
Yeah.
And then we didn't really talk about it again until it came out in the press. And then I was like...
He said, "I understand."
Little side note for you chaps, just do it anyway and let it come out of the press. Then they can't complain, so...
Pretty much.
Yeah. Good. What's keeping you busy at the moment? I mean, do you know, just in general.
I'm writing my next book.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm recording my next podcast, which does not get as many listens as this, unfortunately.
Could we have a few who go over to what's it called?
The podcast.
The podcast. Yeah, but you could do it a few, actually. It's certainly the front row.
Actually, there's quite a few in here that could use it. If you listen to Chloe, she can sort your rig out.
If it was called the Virgin Cast, it'd be even better, because there's a lot of them. Most people are out with their girlfriends at this time. Not you lot, lads. Wedded to rugby. That's it, isn't it? Really ingratiate yourself with them. Call them all virgins and insult them. They definitely will love you for it. Sorry.
Somehow,
I
weirdly,
don't know what's wrong with me.
They do.
Honestly, like, how do we do it?
How do you deal with it on a 24-hour day basis?
I was actually just talking to a guy at the bar who asked me that
question.
Yeah, I bet you were. Did he buy you a drink?
Yeah, of course.
Did he buy you a drink?
Of course you were.
She's already won up. Freebies.
No, you need to put a microphone on him or have a camera on him to get this.
He's got a camera on himself most of the time. It's quite hard to fit in.
It's all got me in trouble, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's
yeah. Yeah.
I wish we could. She reckons
that what she's trying to say is that obviously when we, you know, in front of a crowd, I'm all chat, but at home, I don't say a word. She can't get a word out of me. Gets really annoyed. She's like, why do other people get the best of you?
And I he's catatonic at home, but if I put my camera on him, he'll perform.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's definitely a... who's techie, there's definitely a hack in there somewhere, you know what I mean?
Oh, you don't get a wife who's pretty looking like this if you ain't got skills, lads. I'm actually doing my own podcast to sort of lot you out, honestly.
Can I just say, you're bloody amazing. You're bloody amazing.
Do you know what we did say? Sorry, because what happened was is that obviously when I retired, I was used to always having 40 lads every day coming in and chatting to them. So, you know. That was just the start. 2019, up the front, gay times and attitude. I'm proud, don't worry about that.
Look at my watch.
Rainbow stripes, if you can see that. Yeah.
Always actually, on just on that, can we get out, can we have a goddamn huge cheer for Alfie Gareth Thomas?
Yeah, what a boy. What a guy.
What a ledge.
What a ledge.
What a ledge. And genuinely, you would have played against him, had a beer with him, you certainly would have.
Yeah, I know him very well.
The most amazing bloke who is breaking down barriers everywhere he goes.
Yeah, and I think his honesty is fantastic. But what I was trying to say was...
Sorry. Listen, back to you, James. Yeah,
That's enough about me. That's enough about me. What do you think about me? So,
Me, myself, and I.
We were saying that, because I obviously, when I retired, I was used to always having an interaction with lads all day long. That a lot of my friends and teammates have come up to Chloe and been like, how are you putting up with it? Because they think that I was condensing, you know, my entire day's chat with lads into her and just abusing it. Like, fuck, you know, what are you wearing there, love? We're like, it's just shit. But she's not getting any of that. So I don't know, you know.
It's just us.
Yeah, it's just us, yeah.
It's just the rest of us. Are you up for a game? You are a very good sport. Actually, can we... Mrs. T was meant to be here today. What's she doing?
Yeah, Zed really let
Mrs.
me down.
Mrs. Med
did
some joint thing, and then suddenly
and
we said,
really
do you want to
drunk, and I literally don't have anyone here to lean on. Where is she?
Yeah, she's competing tomorrow, so unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
That old chestnut, is it?
That old chestnut. We're playing All-Star Mr. and Mrs. Chloe is going to leave us. You're going to don some headphones, and Hask is going to answer some questions, very simple ones, apparently. Will her husband... And then we're going to ask Tin some similar questions... I'm not sure I can understand what the fuck we're meant to be doing here. apparently, we're going to ask Hask some questions. You're going to come back and answer them. We're going to ask Tin some questions. You're going to come back and answer them. And basically, it's a competition between the two of you.
Who knows?
How well you know, Chloe. I know who my money's on. Yeah.
We've spent some real time together in Austria.
I know. All I can say, Hask is the mountaineer. Right.
The shambles is seriously falling apart, it seems. Are you happy to leave us at this point? We'll give you a massive round of applause.
Yeah, Mrs.
Hask,
we're
going to put some headphones on.
Well done, babe.
Woo woo. When you've got some I have absolutely no idea how this is going to come together. The power of editing. Literally read the questions, says producer Si, which is easier said than done. Right, Hask, you're going to answer some questions.
Right, she's got her ears covered, yeah.
Yes, she is.
She's dancing.
She is. Muzzle's under control, I think. So,
Muzzle got a bit keen, actually, leading her by the hand, giving the old nod and wink.
It's acceptable to hug for 2 seconds. I think 5 to 10 in your movie into Stalker territory. Yeah. Right, question number one. What is Chloe's date of birth?
Okay, it's the 13th of the 7th, 1987.
Yeah, okay, yeah, 30, yeah, okay, yeah, you know. Who said I love you first?
Chloe did. Oi, our eyes aren't painted on, she's not weighed a wood, lads, you know what I'm saying?
Who could build an IKEA unit faster?
Me. She can't read instructions, never does it.
Oh, have we got any divorce lawyers in the building? Just out of interest. Who is the better driver?
I mean, listen. Listen, right? There's not even a chance that she's any good at driving. I am honestly clutching onto my seat the entire time. Chloe reckons that mounting curbs in urban environments is just expected in a big car. It's absolutely not. I am way better. She thinks she's better, but I am way better.
Who would win a dance-off?
Chloe would win.
Okay. Got some moves?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I just keep it tight, hands in the air as a DJ. And that's
I was
it.
Asking about her. It's not always about you.
Oh, yeah, she got some moves. Yeah. She used to go to Pineapple Dance Studios all the time. She reckons she's fucking, like, Beyonce and stuff, but not sure.
Question number...
She knows all the Britney Spears routines.
She introduced me to the slut drop.
I bet she did. I bet you haven't told Zed that one. Yeah, funny that.
No, actually, Zed knows that.
I bet she does.
She's like, where have you put... Yeah. Because basically, whenever I go to anyone's wedding, anything, I normally rip a suit. I actually take two suits to people's weddings because when I do dance, a lot of the time I rip my trousers, and it's because she taught me how to slut drop to Bruno Mars. Yeah.
Last question. Who's more likely to start an argument?
She's going to say me.
Date of birth, 13/7/87.
Yeah.
She said I love you first. You'd build a unit faster. You're a better driver. She's a better dancer. You're more likely to start the argument.
Yeah.
You're happy with all of that?
100%.
Locked and loaded. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please give a huge welcome back to Mrs. Chloe Haskell? We've actually been to some quite uncomfortable places on this podcast in the past. I think this is right up there. I'm sort of genuinely nervous for you. Chloe, come and have a seat, ladies and gentlemen. A round of applause, please.
Hello, mate.
Right.
Yeah. Just tell the truth, yeah? Don't lie to me.
But really, is that where we're going?
No, because just to the truth.
Cold, hard.
Cold, hard
yeah.
truth.
Yeah, cold, hard truth.
Don't, bravado it. Just tell the truth.
Like you do.
No, I don't bravado it.
What is your date of birth? Question number one.
13th of July, 1987.
Yay! Your husband knows you well. Who said I love you first?
Me.
Two out of two.
Told you.
Rubbish game.
Who could build an IKEA unit faster?
Do you even know what IKEA is?
Hey. No. Oh, that's
hit
a massive
me with
insult.
You again,
I know John Lewis and Harrods. I don't know IKEA, so fuck off. Yeah. You keep your IKEA shit.
Keep the audience on side.
Oi, that is nothing. Oi,
no,
you should hear it.
Tell them the truth.
James, because he reads manuals and I don't.
Told you. Doesn't read instructions. You're welcome.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oi,
with three out of three, I am genuinely Who
what,
is this
Kitty, the Kitty bar?
Let's not worry about that.
You're out in Japan, you're there.
Yeah. You'll be there.
Who is the better driver?
He will say him because women can't drive, because misogyny is
driving. Whoa, I didn't say that. Whoa, shit, babe. Whoa,
Go to YouTube.
No, no.
You do say
no, that. Whoa, babe. I didn't say that.
No, whoa.
That's 2019. I said you can't drive. I didn't say it about women. Do not tar me that brush, babe.
No, he will have said him, yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid he did. Yeah. 4 out of 4. We're still running at 4 out of 4. Yeah. Who would win a dance-off?
Oh, me. James Bond dance for shit.
Are you happy to give us the slut drop?
No, absolutely
not. Tim said you taught the slut drop.
That was
Tim.
Oh,
my God, I did in Austria. Right.
Really awkward scenario as well.
Be careful. Yeah.
I actually do have a photo of us doing a slut drop at 5 o'clock in the morning in the hotel.
Oh. That's a good dance.
Right.
I had some.
Didn't slut drop.
But it's so beat.
Ooh.
lovely.
We had some so we had some good dance teachers on that, because obviously we had a pussycat doll, Ashley, as well. So
this is on the jump.
Yeah, on the jump, yeah.
Who did better on the two?
It was a really shit few weeks for me, that.
Mate, she is Ashley, so fit.
Very quickly, you can tell the level of celebrity we've got out here, because you'll inevitably get a Strictly or a Celebrity Jungle or whatever it's called. You've done 100 things, the jump. You've done the jump and a whole lot of things. The only thing I've ever been put forward for was celebrity show jumping on Channel 5.
I love that.
Trotting poles.
Yeah.
Trot on.
Well, probably
and I didn't even make the cut for that. So that's what you see. Last but not least, we're 5 out of 5. Who is more likely to start an argument?
Oh.
Ooh. I was honest.
James.
Yay! That is a full house.
Oh, you're growing.
What a happy...
Pat me on the head, babe. Thank you.
So rounded.
Yeah. How often and how do you diffuse angry man?
No. There is no diffuse. You leave.
Right, you leave.
Yeah, you leave. Yeah. You don't want to be around it. I mean, look at it. Is it...
It's not like the baby in Mr. Incredibles where you have to just throw cookies at him until he calls off.
No, it is really like that.
But if you have a row, Chloe then just makes me laugh. Like, you know, it's like I'm really pissed off and I don't want to laugh.
Yeah.
She'll do things that I'll be laugh. Yeah. She'll just make me laugh halfway through and that normally diffuses it.
I love that. It's like it's romance. Wait, if we can soften the edges of the YouTube video at this point, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no point doing this, so we're going to scrap your bit. Thank you very much indeed for coming. I love that. A round of applause for Hask and Chloe. Yeah. What a lovely couple.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I go?
If you think the show is falling apart at the seams at this point, wait until we move on to our next section, which is this week's Perfect Pour, ladies and gentlemen. Yay! Together with our incredibly good friends at Guinness, we are taking on a slightly different feel this week. It's a very simple competition. Between Hask, will you stay with us? Because actually, we need some moral support here, Chloe. It's a very simple competition between Hask and Tins that is supposed to take 119 and a half seconds.
Definitely going to take longer than that.
Because that's how long it takes to pour the perfect pint. This week, though, we are going for 1 to 2 hours, I think, at this point. It is the FaceTime game. Oh, it's an ooh rather than away, which is obviously means we're all very nervous about this. You have got 3 attempts to FaceTime the most famous person in your phone.
The Queen!
By the way, anyone in Japan, they will be in bed.
Yeah, he's simmer down, gentlemen. He's far from the most famous person I've got. So, relax.
Hask is actually going to FaceTime Trump, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Or my godfather, as he's known.
Are we going Balmoral 3126?
Oh.
Okay, so get your phones at the ready. Yeah, I'm genuinely nervous. So if we get a pickup, actually, you could just ring the wife and you win. Yeah. That is quite tiresome. Not that Hask ringing the wife doesn't get him a very close second, but if we get a pickup, you get a point.
Okay.
Person who gets the most pickups gets the most points.
You get someone who might be nude by the time when I ring.
If it's a draw, you, the audience, get to vote on who FaceTime the biggest name. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Are you ready?
I'm going to call Tom Holland Spider-Man.
It's a good shout.
Shh. Please answer.
3 rings.
Blank him.
Don't think he's going to answer. No, he's not going to answer. How many rings do we give it?
Awkward.
What? Will you call it? Cut it?
Keep going. Our service said 0 from 1.
Right.
Have you just uploaded a whole lot of people under random numbers with famous names? Right. Okay,
is it Tins,
where are you going?
Well, because Chloe's here, I'm going to ring Steve-O.
Oh!
I'm going to ring Steve-O from Jackass. And I'm hoping he's going to be naked.
Right, pass that along.
If you didn't know, his name is Stephen Glover.
Is he in your phone as Stephen?
He's in my phone as Steve hash Glover. So hang on, how do I...
This is extraordinary. Generally quite tense.
What's going to happen in a moment is that Tom Holland's going to ring back. Do you get half a point for a ring back? Half a point for a ring back.
What? Put the camera down.
Film the phone.
I am fucking filming the phone.
Oi. She's a yeah! Yeah!
Steve up.
That is unbelievable.
Hey, yeah. Hey, hey.
That's Chloe.
How, Steve-O, there's no chance I can hear you, but I'll ring you back later.
What's he doing? Oh. Steve-O, what are you doing? What are you doing right now, Steve-O?
Yeah, I'm working on some stuff, some videos and some emails.
Bit of emails, bit of stuff. How much do you love the tins? Mike, the tins.
Who?
He loves you a lot. That gets a cheer. What a legend.
Love you, my man.
Steve-O. Turn around again, turn around.
Steve-O. Cheers, dude. Catch you later.
Okay. Okay. Hey, mate. Okay.
1-0, Mike.
All right, all right. All right.
And it's a strong start.
All right, all right. What about, okay. Derek Chisora or David Hay?
Oh, Chisora.
Chisora. Chisora. All right, relax, relax. Derek Chisora. Who?
Oh, fuck.
Lawrence.
Sorry, you think that Delalio is more famous than Derek Chisora? Yeah. You lads need to get out more.
So we've gone with Derek Chisora.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah!
Oi, big
how
man.
Is it done? What's
oi,
he doing?
There he is. Listen, Derek, you... I love you, brother. Oi, Chloe sends regards. Oh, he's gone.
Gone.
Oh, 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 he's gone. Oh, Derek Chisora.
We should have got him back.
Oh, Derek right.
Oh, no, keep going.
Oh, Derek Chisora.
We sent it to him.
Chisora.
Lovely.
1-1.
We're going to leave the family out of this, I think. So, I was going to go for Jamie Dornan.
Yay! Okay. The women are like, yay!
For the ladies who came out, I will go Dornan.
Yes, please.
Don't say that when we're on camera, please.
Right, right.
I'll try it.
Are you recording in your background?
It's still going, so I'm assuming
it's still doing.
Shh. He's fucking better not blank me.
Can you give him some shit
it's not
about
actually
Ireland?
Ringing quite yet.
How could do you know him?
He lives next door.
Come on. I'm
yeah!
Yeah! Yeah!
Hello, mate. How are you? Oh, there's the dog. He's got the dog on. Hello, mate.
Calm down, right. Chloe.
We're basically in this house right now. Ireland have got no fucking channel. You were there when they won the Grand Slam. How do you think they're going to go?
I was also there in 2009 when we won the Grand Slam.
Yay! So you've got it right, you know they're fucked.
Yeah.
They're basically saying you're going into too much detail. Are you cheering for them?
Jamie, we're not
Jamie, can you just say hello to my wife? She absolutely loves you.
And say hello to old lady.
Wait. Will you come and have a chat with us on the show next time you're not busy filming? And mate, lovely to see you. We look forward to that. He's going to come on the show. That gets a cheer in itself. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamie Dornan.
Thank you.
Is there any point in doing one more? Right. He's fucking dead. He's buried.
Right.
It's like his first MMA fight.
Who
it
was
done.
My phone? Who? Who?
Oh, you could go the parents in law. You could go the parents in law.
I'm not sure that
gets in above.
Do not.
Okay, I'll call.
I mean, producer Si saying, calm down, okay, we're getting out of control.
We'll call Sippy.
You could go father-in-law. I think father-in-law gets you to number one. And...
Yeah, but he doesn't have an iPhone.
He has a BlackBerry, people. He's old school.
He's a busy man.
He's an old school guy.
Who else have I got? I've got Rylan.
Rylan. Let's go, Rylan.
Rylan. It could be his old number. We'll have a go at it.
He will definitely answer.
Fuck, if he does. I mean, just imagine if he answers. How are you, James? Hello.
It's just ringing. He's never going to answer.
You're not ringing. You've not connected yet.
It is ringing. You can hear it.
I love it. No, oh, it is now.
He's not going to ring. He's not going to answer. Unavailable.
I don't even need to, right?
Do you want to?
I think you've won.
Barrymore?
Who said Barrymore?
Who else we got? Oh, Stuart Broad?
Yes! Stuart Broad. Have you got Ben's number?
Stokes, nah.
Johnny Bairstow?
No.
Let's do Brody.
Got Jimmy Anderson's. He's dead after.
Come on, Brody. This is one sporting god to another. The tension is unbearable.
Everyone fucking hates me, that's why I don't answer phone. Probably haven't got the number saved. Who dis?
Please don't answer. Please don't answer.
Oh,
unavailable.
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty sure he definitely won't answer.
Right.
Very true.
Not sure she has an iPhone, to be fair.
I can't think.
Pass is out of bullets. Ladies and gentlemen, our winner of the FaceTime Challenge, Mike Tindall! Amazing scenes. Who'd have thought we had Jamie Dornan, Steve-O and Derek Chisora? You're genuinely pissed off.
Yeah, rattled.
Yeah.
I should have done a bit of pre-prep on this. Yeah. More than you, virgin, so calm down. You came to watch me, not the other way around. And you paid, so shut up.
Good. And there goes our audience for the future episodes of House of Rugby. What an extraordinary show.
Yeah.
What an extraordinary show.
Thank God you didn't answer.
That is it for this week. Thank you for watching and thank you for listening to the House of Rugby on Joe together with Guinness.
Yay!
Thank you to our fantastic audience here at the Prince in the South West of London. Give yourselves a cheer. We are preaching to the converted, but we're a YouTube show and a podcast. Who knew? Please leave us a review, as it really helps. Have we got any trolls here tonight? Have we got Mabrice or any of the lot that came down? Do you remember Mabrice?
Yeah.
Leave us a nice review. It helps. You can also download some of Joe's other programme that you might have missed, including Liquid Football with Kelly Kate. Can I just say we've got Wayne Bridge here tonight? Wayne goes to Wayne. Absolute legend in the building. Came to watch it. Came to watch the Chelsea game, ended up watching you two bores. So sorry about that. And we've also got TK with Carl Frampton.
Hey!
Well done, fellas. Quite good fun. We enjoyed it.
In the can, yeah, in the can.
Yeah, I've got to go and find some friends. Very disappointing.
Yeah. Next time around, you need to up your game. We are apparently back in the studio next week, which is going to be quite boring, but we'll live with it. Ladies and gents, you've been absolute superstars. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. I hope you've had a wonderful time. Do stay for a drink with the legends here. But will you finish, please, with an enormous round of applause for Tins and for Hass and for Hass of Rugby. Thank you very much indeed. See you again soon. Thank you very much.
Jamie Dornan.
You've been listening to the House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.co.uk for the facts.